Have your Bibles, turn to Exodus. We're going to begin in Exodus chapter 17, okay? Exodus chapter 17 this morning. The title is The Thirst Test. We're in this tested series. And what we could forget today as I read the text, I'm going to read Exodus chapter 17, and then I'm going to read a very familiar story, almost the same thing in the Numbers chapter 20. They are separate incidents, and you're going to see that they cost Moses. It cost Moses. God says, because you've done this, you're not going to go in to the promised land after leading Israel for 40 years in the desert. And so I want you to remember that the people are thirsty, and then see how God deals with it. Don't miss the miracle. The miracle is amazing. If you want to go online and look up the rock that Moses brought water from. And you're going to see in these areas where they found rocks that have been almost cut in half by large amounts of water. It's really interesting to me. And so we're going to begin reading in chapter 17. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people, so they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" All right, now we're going to Numbers chapter 20. We're going to read another incident. Same thing, thirsty people. And we're going to read the first 13 verses. In the first month, the whole Israelite community arrived at the desert of Zin, and they stayed at Kadesh, and there Miriam died and was buried. This is towards the end of their journey, all right? They're not far from going into the promised land. Most of the people that were unbelieving have died in the desert by this point. Now there was no water for the community, and the people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. Does it sound familiar? They quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. Why did you bring the Lord's community into the wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines, or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink." Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance, the tent of meeting, and they fell face down, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord said to Moses, "Take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock." Don't miss this, church. "Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock and for the community so that they and their livestock can drink." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels. Must we bring you water out of this rock?" And then Moses raised his arm and he struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy, in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. These were the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord and where he was proved holy among them. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come this morning, and that, Lord, we could feel your heartbeat today for your people. Lord, I pray for an attitude adjustment for myself today, and I pray for an attitude adjustment and realization for everybody in the congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen. When I look at this story and I read the story and I see where it says, where God says to Moses, but because you didn't listen to me, because you didn't trust me, and you didn't represent me as holy, you're not going into the promised land. I don't know about you, but the first thing I say is, oh, that's just not fair. But this morning, I pray we can see God's heart in this and what was going on, all right? So your first point in your outline, sheep count on their shepherd to lead them to water. Sheep are not really sharp, you know that? The psalmist said, he leadeth me beside still waters. Why? Because they have to be taken to water where they can drink, and the water's pure and it's clean, and so that they can get the water and drink it without drowning. And it's up to the shepherd to water them. See, sheep count on their shepherd to lead them to water. Moses has been called, and for 40 years he has led Israel in the desert. You know, on Wednesday nights, we're reading through Exodus, and we've just come through Moses' crisis of faith, where he's saying, Lord, call somebody else. He says, I don't talk well. He has more excuses, and he's talking to a burning bush. And here God says, you didn't trust me. That crisis of faith is still there. We all have it. We all wrestle with it every day. But the fact here is sheep count on their shepherd to lead them to water. Your next point, one miraculous drink did not produce enough faith for the second miraculous drink. Isn't it interesting that early in Exodus where we read, they were looking for water, they were thirsty. Folks, it was a matter of life and death. They were in the middle of the desert. They couldn't go to Walmart and buy a package, you know, a bunch of bottles of water. And they were gonna die of thirst. And they began to whine. And the first time Moses strikes the rock, that's what God told him to do. And God gave them water. But one miraculous drink, it didn't produce enough faith to get them a second one. I wonder how many of us have had God come to our rescue and do miraculous things and awesome things and get us out of certain situations. And then the next situation we get in, we forget all about it. That's why some people keep a diary or a log and they write down. I can remember my wife, when she taught junior high, she would have the kids write down their prayer requests, and then when the prayer was answered, they would mark the date it was answered. And some students would come back years later and go, I remember when we did this. It's so interesting to me that Israel doesn't remember. Now, in their defense, they may have been different people. See, they've been 40 years in the wilderness, and their generation before them, their parents have died. Because God said, you're not going in. But the fact is that one miraculous drink, it just didn't produce enough faith for that second miraculous drink. And the guy that I really want to look at is Moses. Moses has already gone through this. Your next point, God gave Moses and Aaron specific instructions at both watering rocks. All right, back in Exodus chapter 17, verse 6, I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it for the people to drink. In Numbers chapter 20. All right, Numbers chapter 20, verse 8. Take the staff, you and your brother Aaron, gather the assembly together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. Specific instructions. Do we have anybody here that's into formulas? Huh? You see, isn't that what we want as Christians? We want to say, okay, last time this happened, I did A because God told me to do A, so it must be the same way this time. Lord, I won't bother you with it this time. I'm just going to do what I did last time. Anybody work that way? I get caught in it all the time, and what God wants us to do is stop and talk to Him. What does His Word say? Seek, and you shall find. Right? Knock, the door will be open. Ask. But I love formulas. It worked last time. I think I'll do it again. Any fisherman can tell you, you can do the same thing tomorrow that you did today. It worked, and it might not work tomorrow. Might be why he chose fishermen. Look at your next point. Moses trusted his staff more than God's word. See, Moses, it worked last time. He struck the rock, right? There's so much written about this church. I just beg God that I don't misrepresent him today or Moses, okay? But what was going on here? God said, speak to the rock. When was the last time you thought of how powerful God's word is, church? When was the last time you thought about it? How powerful is the word of God? How did he create the universe? God said, let there be light. He spoke, didn't he? Whatever he told the universe to do, it did. So he says to Moses, speak to the rock. But Moses takes his staff, which he's done all these amazing signs and wonders with, you see. Some commentators say, well, Moses and Aaron were kind of taking this on themselves, and they were doing it on their own when this happened, you see. I can't be certain of it. It kind of looks like it. But the point is, God said, speak. Do you realize how powerful the Word of God is, church? The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my what? My word abides. My word will remain. So shouldn't we pay extra attention to God's word? And God said to Moses, he said, speak to the rock. Speak to it. How about your problem today? How about the situation you're in? Are you speaking the word of God to it? Years ago, I can't remember who the rock star was, but there was some guy in this terrible band, and his wife got saved, and at night she used to write scripture on his collar of his shirt. It's a great testimony. And she used to speak scripture in the house. And the guy wound up getting saved. I'm telling you, it was miraculous. Why? Because the word of God is so powerful. She used to write Isaiah 53 on his shirt collar, and he would look at his shirt and say, who's Izzy 53? I still remember that about the testimony. But the man got saved. Speak the word of God to the situation. Moses would not have been speaking his word. He was speaking God's word. God said, speak to the rock. Now look at your next point. The shepherd was angry and called the sheep rebels. If you look at the text, look at verse 10. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of the rock? God, if you follow the instructions and you read this back, God did not say to Moses on this occasion, these rebels, I'm going to give these rebels water. That's not what he said. He didn't say call them rebels. He didn't say I'm angry. He said, Moses, speak to the rock and give them water. James chapter 1 and verse 20. The wrath of man will not produce the righteousness of God. This is the NIV. I just gave you the King James. That's how I memorized it. But because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires, I cannot beat you into doing what's right. I wonder if there's any angry people here. You ever get mad about stuff? Now listen, I'm not talking about righteous anger. When we got home, my wife listened to me last night. She's a good ear. And she said to me, she said, can I be angry about abortion? And you know, and I said, yes, you may. But you have to keep it in check. So don't go home and say, Pastor said we can't get upset about these evil things. No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But the shepherd was angry and he called the sheep rebels. Look at your next point. Anger caused Moses and Aaron to forget the facts. See, when you get angry, you'll forget the facts. What facts? Here's the facts that I think they forgot. God just wanted to water the sheep. He said, speak to the rock. He said, Moses, he said, because you didn't trust me. See, because you didn't know me, Moses, because you didn't feel my heartbeat, Moses. You didn't speak to the rock. You hit the rock. You misrepresented me. And anger caused Moses and Aaron to forget the facts. Let's bring it down to some of our relationships. When you get angry at your spouse, you very rarely yell at them and say, I just love you so much, right? You know, I love you so much and I would be devastated if you left and if our marriage didn't work out. I just think the world of you and I can't live without you. We don't do that, do we? You get angry and we say things that if we could take it back. And I wrote this in my notes this morning, and you might want to write it, but emotion-driven action, especially when it's anger, folks, it'll wipe out a relationship. It will help us to misrepresent God. It will not save souls. When I was on the farm, you know, you back up machinery. And my boys would always ride their bicycles all over. All my children rode their bicycles all over the farm, see? And I would say to them, I'd say, do not let your bicycle sit in the middle of the driveway or in front of the tool shed door because I'm going to back a load of hay in. I can see the size of the door and I'm going to get it through that hole, but I can't see if your bicycle's there. I can't see your toys if you leave them there. So sure enough, one day, man, right before milking time, we were done baling. I was back in the hay baler, into the shed. And what did I do? My son, my young son, John, he left his bike. And I backed over the front wheel of that bike. And I don't know if you know what a hay baler does to the front wheel of a little bicycle. It looked like a pancake. And I was so angry. And I remember yelling at my young son. But here's what I remember. I remember looking at his face. And he just was trembling like this in fear. You see, anger will let you forget the facts. What were the facts? I love my son. I was trying to preserve his bicycle. See, Moses forgot that he was a shepherd. Look at your next point. God wanted Moses to call the sheep to water and speak to the rock. That's what he wanted. You forget the facts. I took my son's bicycle right away. Man, I can still see him just... took the wheel off, took it to town, bought him a new wheel, put the tire on it, got his bike rolling before we milked cows that night again. One of the first sermons I ever heard from a Spirit-filled preacher, he said, "I can't understand why preachers yell at the bride of Christ." Wow. See, church, God wasn't angry. He wasn't angry with the people that day. He wasn't mad at them. He loved them. They needed water. They were going to die of thirst if he didn't water them. And he brought them there. And Moses was leading them there. And all he wanted Moses to do was speak to the rock and water. Bring water for the people. I want to tell you something about our nation today and our world. There's a whole lot of angry people out there. Anybody listening? I haven't heard on the news lately, you know, we really care about America and we love this nation and we want to preserve it and we want what's best for the nation, and that's why we're here demonstrating. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? But instead, anger makes everybody forget the facts and they just plead their case and they want their cause and they're willing to line up and they're willing to put money on the line and they're willing to report this and report that. And you know what? They forgot the facts. The facts are, if we don't all get together and if we don't all bring God back into the relationship, folks, we're in big trouble. I get angry at men and the decisions they make, and I ought to be praying for them, and I ought to be looking at the rock we're going to talk about here in a moment and asking him to bring spiritual water to them. But I have to repent this morning and say, I haven't been doing that. I just get all cranked up and get mad. And I forget the facts. The enemy loves it. Look at your next point. The Apostle Paul refers to Jesus as the spiritual rock. He refers to Jesus as the spiritual rock. We're going to 1 Corinthians, all right, chapter 10. And listen to the first 6 verses. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact. I love this. Remember, they forget the facts. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of the facts, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Folks, I love it. God says, Moses, I'm going to stand next to the rock in Exodus 17. And he said, you're going to strike the rock and it's going to bring forth water. I think Jesus was standing there. Some commentators say that's even a prophecy about the fact that they're going to strike Jesus, the rock, so that we can live. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, here's an important point in the thirst test, church. Now, these things occurred as what? Examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. For us, the thirst test is, can we take the example? A lot of examples here. Don't murmur and grumble like Israel did. Don't come against Moses, you see? Wouldn't it have been easier just to ask God? If they all would have got together and asked God for water, God would have said, Moses, talk to the rock. He would have talked to the rock. We could have stopped all the fighting. So Jesus is the spiritual rock. Paul refers to him in that way, all right? Now, here's the end of the matter here. Listen to Jesus and drink the water of salvation. Want to know the answer for our nation? Listen to Jesus. drink the water of salvation. I'm going to confess something to you here. This always happens to me. My wife is the best compass for me. I'll meet with somebody, I'll go home, and if we talk about things, and sometimes my wife will say to me, "Is that person saved?" And I sit there and I go, "I didn't ask them." And she's very kind, but really she ought to say, "What in the world is wrong with you? You missed the point." See salvation. Listen to Jesus. Drink the water of salvation. He wants you to drink. He's not angry at you. Do you know this morning that God's not mad at you? But the enemy wants you to think God's angry with you, because then we won't represent God properly. Do you please understand this, church? I want you today to feel God's heartbeat. And when you run into an unsaved person, I'm telling you, the enemy works overtime to get us angry at them and say, "You know what? Serves them right, you know. They get their life straightened out with God, everything would be better. But right now, they're just getting what they deserve." Is that really the heart of God? God takes no, He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, church. John chapter 4. Drink from the water of salvation. Jesus is speaking, all right? John chapter 4, verses 10. Verses 10 through 14, okay? Jesus answered her. He's speaking to the woman at the well. "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus could have just said, "Yep." Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman says to him, "Sir, give me this water always." Man, she wants that water. Are you thirsty today, church? See, do we really want that water? And this woman got saved, went and got the whole city to come out. She said, listen to her words. She said, "Come and see." She told the people in the city who knew all about her. She said, "Come and see somebody who told me everything that I've done." And they went, "And he's still talking to you?" Isn't a holy God angry with you? The answer is no. He died on the cross for her. He's going to go to the cross. Church, let's represent God as holy. Let's represent Him as loving. God does not just love. God is love. It's not something He does. It's something He is. It's His identity. John chapter 7, I love this. John chapter 7 and verse 37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink," He says. It follows, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." I wish I could have been there that day. Here they are at the festival, you know, and his brothers are, "Hey, if you want people to notice you, Jesus, come on up." And he goes, "No, you guys go." And then Jesus sneaks up there, and here he just stands up and he says, "Hey, if you're thirsty, come here. I got water for you." Folks, this morning, as sure as water came out of the rock, and Israel drank. God wants to give you water to drink. He wants to quench your spiritual thirst. His word is here for us to take, all right? Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the first and the 17th verse. Then the angel showed me the river of water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Folks, I want to drink that water. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears says, come. Let the one who is thirsty, look at this, are you thirsty, church? Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Wow. If you're spiritually thirsty, my first question for you is, are you angry? Are you grumbling? Are you murmuring? How many times have we read the word grumble and murmur in Exodus? Are you mad at God? Do you think God's mad at you? Let's get the heartbeat of God this morning. Church, I wish I could just put His Spirit and His heartbeat in you this morning so you could experience. And Moses went out there and he said, you bunch of rebels, and he struck the rock and he said, Moses, I'm not mad at them. I love them. I'm holy, Moses. We sang it this morning. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. See. Can you feel His heart beat for you? He's not mad at you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to make you holy like He's holy. He wants to water you for free. He wants you to become a life-giving flow of water to everybody around you. He wants the world outside there to know that the anger is not going to do it, folks. It just makes you forget the facts. If the church doesn't rise up, you know what's going to happen in our nation? We're going to fight with each other till we wreck this place. But if the church will rise up, and if the church will have the heart of God, and if we begin to pray, and if we will speak the word of God, see this? Speak the word of God, and there will be redemption. There will be redemption right here in our sanctuary. There will be redemption right here in Lake Geneva, in all the surrounding areas. We could take over Walworth County with the love of God. And I believe in miracles. All of Wisconsin could come. And our entire nation could follow church. But where's it going to start? Father, we come to You, and Lord, I repent for being angry. Because it hides the facts that the people I'm unhappy with need prayer. Lord, we lift up our nation. We lift up our families. And Lord, if we've been angry and if we're in opposition with them, then, Lord, I pray You would break our heart for them today, and You'd take out our heart of stone. You'd put in a heart of flesh. Because, Lord, even Moses was affected by the grind of every day and what goes on. But, Father, let Your heart beat in us. Let us be thirsty for more of You. And then, Lord, replace that anger with compassion and love and the power of Your Holy Spirit in us. And then, Lord, we pray that Your word would accomplish what You sent it to do in us and those around us, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you need prayer, we'd love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, take time at the altar. If not, go in peace and drink from that water that God gives us freely. Amen.